Our niche gaming streams are getting some mainstream attention, confusing the masses. Plus, people stopped trusting Kickstarter and the feds aren't trusting their competition. Tonight is July 3rd, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It is the eve of our birthday in this country that I am in. We will celebrate it. Well, actually, we have been celebrating it for several weeks now by blowing a piece of it up. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an independent edition, I guess, of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. It is a little bit less people because it is a holiday weekend here in the U.S. where the majority of our listeners are not everybody. So there are probably people that are either doing that or watching a Twitch stream, maybe, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But if you are here and you want to get some points on the leaderboard, you can check in. All you got to do is go to live.vognetwork.com, and if you're logged into the site, you can check in just like ActDeft and SSJ100 Matt. And I got to call them out because I was totally prepared. Had Obi-Wan Jabroni actually checked in, I was going to read him and ActDef because they're neither of them are from Murica, who is celebrating the birthday. And just for that, but ActDef checked in. He did not, so I don't get to mention him at all, except I just did because he's from the country. Obi-Wan Jabroni's from the country we left. Yeah. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can bravely and heroically listen for a passphrase that will independently interrupt whatever we're talking about. You can put that in on the site for the exact same amount of points. Fifth Dream in chat says that I'm anti-American. I am not. And ActF says, technically I'm from America, but the continent, not the country. That's right. He's not, but he can't enter the real America. And I'm only bringing this up because we want him to be able to enter the real America next year. And so ActDef needs to get the paperwork in order so he can enter the America that's just to the north of him next year at this time. And he knows why. He knows why. He needs to get that in order. But after tonight. Start tomorrow. Because it's not a holiday where you are. So you can get that started tomorrow while the rest of us up here are blowing off parts of the earth and hopefully not parts of our hands, because we need those for gaming. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me in the comments section at vognetwork.com. So there's going to be no show. There's actually a couple of no shows coming up. There's going to be no show July 10th, which is next Sunday. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out and won't be able to do a show on that night. But if the news cycle is kind of like anything like this week, I won't be missing much. But I also will not be doing a show on July 31st. And the reason for that is that I am going to be finally, I'm going to be going up to a convention, it's not a gaming convention, but it is a, sci-fi convention, supporting one of the other podcasts on the network. I'm going up to Louisville, Kentucky, trying to say Louisville right, because I had linguists on a couple months ago, and they really like spent time correcting my pronunciation of Louisville. But I'm going to be going up to Fandom Fest, which is a sci-fi, started off as a horror convention, so it's still got some of that. But sci-fi, geek culture convention. Going up to go visit the crew from Pod Culture is going to be up there, because Brad from Pod Culture, who's been a big supporter of the show and the network, since for a long, long time. He's been trying to get us to go up there, and so I am going to be driving up there And there will be YouTube videos from it and stuff. Not sure how much of the video gaming content there's going to be there, but we'll figure something out. So unfortunately, that is I'm going to be gone on the Sunday night and won't be able to do a show on that night. So that's so I'm going to have no show next week. Then I'll have two shows, one of which is my 11th anniversary. July 24th is my 11th anniversary of podcasting. July 24th, 2005 was the first show that I ever did of this version of the Bobby Blackwell Show. And so only one other time have I actually been able to do a show on the actual date that is the anniversary date. And this is that time. So July 24th is going to be that. If you want to leave a bumper or anything that you want to add to that, email it to me and it's an MP3, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Act Deft is the only one who did this last year, or for episode 500. So be more like Act Deft, even though he doesn't have the paperwork to come in the country. Other than that part. What's actually going on, where a lot of people might be watching right now, is is it biannual? Because it happens twice a year. So is that biannual, or what's the word for that? But anyway, Summer Games Done Quick, which is the summer version of the Awesome Games Done Quick, which is done in January. This is in July, and it's a 24-hour, 7-day marathon. It is today's telethon. When I was a kid, we would have these telethons on the on TV that would benefit benefit children's research, stuff like that. And we would have a lot of variety acts that would show up and do their thing, and then they'd have the call banks in the back of, you could talk to celebrities and things like that. Semi-annual is what Rageinator says this is. So it's semi-annual is maybe, because biannual is every other year. So semi-annual, whatever. Anyway, this is the telethon of today. We don't have those long-running telethons where, the phones are standing by, unless you're watching PBS, then they still do those. But the big charity telethons don't happen as much anymore. But where they do happen is now in gaming, and that's what Summer Games Done Quick is. Instead of bringing in variety acts that do, that play songs or do a theater act or a stage show, they bring in Twitch streamers that speed run games, and they showcase them speed running these games. They bring them all into a hotel ballroom. This time it's in Minneapolis, and they're benefiting Doctors Without Borders. And I think right now is the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze speed run, and I think there's four speedrunners doing it. I didn't start watching it because I knew it would not be done by the time I got came on the air. But it's going on all week over at Twitch, and it's really fun to watch some of the ways they break games. My favorite parts are actually the ones that take place at 5 in the morning, though, because that's when they bring the bad games out, and they have people like Barbie Dream Girl is being run at 4:30 in the morning or something like that. Luckily, they do upload these to YouTube, and they have the Twitch highlights and stuff, so you can watch them later. But it's really interesting to watch them break these games. And sometimes, I watched a game today where actually the lead designer of the game called in and was mentioning that nobody had ever really speedrun the levels of the games that they were doing. So it's really neat to watch. They're benefiting Doctors Without Borders here in the Summer Games Done Quick, and I didn't realize this. But there's also a Pinball Done Quick marathon going on in the exact same hotel, right outside of the ballroom. And there's a pinball tournament that they're running, and they're basically speed running pinball tables or something, or they're only allowing people 5 minutes on a table to see what the score is or whatever. So there's a pinball marathon going on at the exact same place at the exact same time. So it that was interesting. I'm because Fifth Dream even asked, how do you speed run pinball? I think what it is they give you 5 minutes and you have to get the highest score. They're actually doing a tournament with Pinball Arcade where you speed run all that. You get 5 minutes on each table, and then you speed run them, and then the highest score or something like that. So Summer Games Done Quick is going on right now on Twitch, this may be the year I actually donate, because I'm actually going to be hopefully spending a lot of time watching it instead of working. While I'm working, I have coworkers that listen to this, which always blows my mind. I'm going to watch it while I'm working, but not while I'm on calls, because I need streaming. Anyway, but the first part of Summer Games Done Quick was actually not on Twitch. It was actually Friday night on CBS, where The Late Show with Stephen Colbert ended the Friday night show. It was the final, very last final segment, which it's Mitch Power, I think, is what he goes by. And he's a speedrunner. He holds like almost all the world records in Super Mario Brothers 3, which it's like 10 minutes to complete it with just warp whistles, but 3 minutes with a glitch. And so they actually brought him on to talk about Summer Games Done Quick and promote the charity and all that stuff. But then they had who would win the Columbia University men's 4x100 relay team, which can do it in about 3.5 minutes. Stephen Colbert eating a Hot Pocket, or cooking and eating a Hot Pocket, or the Super Mario Bros. 3 run. Now, Colbert won. He ate the Hot Pocket first. Actually, the streamer, Mitch, actually was last. Everybody beat him because something happened during the run, so he only finished it in like 3 minutes 50 seconds or something. But it was interesting watching the reaction from people that aren't in the scene, and they basically said that it was crap. And I honestly don't, and basically because they used a glitch run. He basically glitched the game at the very end to transport him to the Princess screen, which is a valid speedrunning time for that. They have different categories, but he is the world record holder in the regular game, but that's 10 minutes long, and CBS was not going to devote that. So, but a lot of people were like, oh, he didn't really beat the game. He glitched it. I have no respect for that. I have no respect for speedrunners. So I think it was kind of the wrong first message for people who had never heard of speedrunning to have somebody do a glitch run on national television. But the segment was very well done, and they actually had like a CBS Sports commentator who had notes about like exactly what the speedrunner was doing. So he actually sounded like very very knowledgeable on the subject, which it's not that hard to know what a Super Mario 3 speedrunner is going to do. But it was very interesting watching the reaction. But it was not also very nice to see like some mainstream recognition of speedrunning. And ActDev says, people are dumb, glitch runs are the best. But yes, I agree, but I don't think it was wise having a glitch run be the first impression. Dungeon Buster says, those are fun to watch, especially when they comment on both the history of the game and how the glitch was found. Yes, I agree, like, they're fun to watch in the stream. And Tiger Claw says, maybe the best thing to speedrun to them should have been Super Mario Brothers. It depends, like, how fast is the time? Like, they needed to be inside a four-minute segment. Like, that was the television thing, so that's probably why they did the Super Mario 3 glitch run. And ActF says, the thing is, most of the basis of speedrunning is based on glitches. I agree. But there are non-glitch speedruns, and I think that's probably would have been a better introduction, is what I'm kind of saying. But it was really nice to see, the recognition and all that stuff. And it started, and it's going great so far. Another place where the masses are going to get confused is going to be on ESPN again. I love it when this happens. So July 17th at 10 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2 is actually going to be showing the Street Fighter V finals from EVO. And I am so prepared for all the tweets that we get every single time ESPN shows something like, a game. But this is going to be actually a game that's easier for people who don't understand games to understand, because it's two digital dudes beating the crap out of each other. And, ESPN has shown boxing and UFC and mixed martial arts. So it's digital beating of asses instead of actual beating of asses. So it's going to be fun to watch that. So they're going to be broadcasting live from EVO on ESPN2 or on the Watch ESPN app if you have that. So that's going to be fun. And, ESPN2 is the same network that shows the National Spelling Bee. So I don't get how this is a stretch, but who knows? I really liked it when ESPN2 showed marching band competitions, which actually I shouldn't say marching band, drum corps, because they're not marching bands, they're drum corps. But ESPN2 showed DCI Finals all the time for Drum Corps International, which DCI season just started. And ESPN2 used to show the finals, and they don't anymore. Now you have to go to a movie theater to see it. But you know, they showed it. And what's funny is a lot of the people that I hear that aren't, you know, in the gaming area that are my friends that are like, why is ESPN showing this? And I'm like, you realize ESPN showed DCI and you were fine with it. And actually, that shut them up. Dark Tetsuya says, I want to say one of the ESPN channels showed Magic the Gathering tournaments. It might have been ESPN3, which is technically not a channel. It's just a streaming service. And TBS obviously has their esports starting up, and that's what everybody's saying. But it's not ESPN. Like, TBS, like it people can accept that a little bit more because they're an entertainment network. But ESPN is supposed to be for just sports, like poker and the National Spelling Bee. Derek Law says, I'm glad ESPN2 is showing Street Fighter V. You can't get any more mainstream than that. Yes, you can. You can get on ESPN. ESPN is more mainstream than ESPN2. Just saying. So the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about is, before I get into any kind of news, because it was a slow news week, so I'm really reaching on stuff to talk about this week. But if there is somebody out there that has any kind of artistic talent, and it doesn't have to be good artistic talent, I am, and you know, maybe Dark, I don't know if Dark Tetsuya is actually going to do this too. So I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the spot, Dark Tetsuya. But you did mention interest in Twitter when I posted this. I have decided that I haven't made a game in a while. And the only way I can really convince myself to make a game is to put a time constraint on it and actually adhere to that time constraint. So a friend of the show, Kyle Pittman, who we've had on the show before. He did Super Win the Game, and we had him on for that. And he was actually one of the developers of the game that I did music for way back when. He posted a game jam that's on itch.io right now. And he said this is his favorite one, and he may actually do it. And I'm like, you know what? That's really kind of cool, this particular game jam. And so if you don't know what a game jam is, basically it's a theme, and they give you a certain amount of time to do it. And it turns out itch.io does game jams all the time, and they're not just for a weekend. They're for, you know, random amounts of time, and there's, you know, a theme, and you can just join them and upload to itch.io. Itch.io is basically a indie, really, really indie game platform. You can upload games for free there, or they do actually have a payment system where you can, you know, you can buy the game from them and stuff like that. So this particular game jam, the theme for this is a game by its cover. And the genesis of this game jam is basically make a game based on a fake Famicom cartridge cover. And they provide a link to, I think it's called Famicase Collection. And there's like apparently like an art contest every year where they actually ask, and it's actually also in Japan, where people design fake games and design the Famicom cartridge label for them. And the idea of this game jam is you make a game based on one of those fake game covers. And it doesn't have to be from that. It can be just any fake game cover that anybody has made. So what I've decided is maybe, you know, if somebody out here is has maybe some weird, not too complicated game cover, like, or something that is not required, like, don't make it, you know, don't make, oh, I'm going to make Grand Theft Auto San Bernardino or something like that, you know, but like just some weird idea and game name, if you want, and it can be in Microsoft Paint. I think that would actually be kind of funny too, but you know, make it like something that would look like a label on a Famicom cartridge. If you can get that to me, even though I know I'm not doing a show on July 10th, if we can get that, you know, probably by the middle of the following week, so maybe by July 15th, I actually think that would be kind of cool if I did a game based on, like, some art by one of you guys. So I'll put up a post on the on our forums over at VogNetwork.com in the Bobby Blackwell Show section that hasn't been posted to in, like, 2 years. Kind of describing this, but if nobody submits anything, I'll go try to find a game myself, or if I even have the time. I think that would be kind of cool, because I want to make a game again, and this game jam, it started on the 1st, and it goes until the 31st, so it's a month long, so you have a month to submit your game. So it's not like a week or a weekend or anything like that. So I think that would be kind of cool. to have. Dark Tetsuya says, I tried to get into it, but I saw someone already made a way better version of Uamu Invaders, but I may go and give it another try. Never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your dreams. But if you want to just like create a game cover, that's kind of what I'm asking for. All right. So the news this week, it's basically about us not funding games anymore. Probably for good reason. I am also one of those people that kind of jumped off this train. Polygon has reported that crowdfunding for video games on Kickstarter is down sharply for the first 6 months of 2016 compared to the same period in 2015, suggesting that roughly the same number of video game projects are successfully backed, but at much lower amounts. So Kickstarter backers pledged $8.2 million to video game projects in the first 6 months of 2016, says ICO Partners. I want to say Eco Partners like the game, but I think it's ICO Partners, which is a UK-based consultancy specializing in market analytics for online games. Donors pledged more than $20 million to video games in both the first and second halves of 2015. That's despite roughly the same number of projects being successfully funded overall in all three periods. So Shenmue 3 raised $6 million in a campaign spanning June 15th to July 15th, and Bloodstained Ritual of the Night took in $5.5 million just 1 month before, but the 2016 drop-off appears not to be skewed entirely by the success of a single project. Both halves of 2015 saw more than $20 million in pledges. Removing Bloodstained and Shenmue 3's take from their respective halves would still leave $8 million of 2016's first half down about 40% from either half in 2015. So the absence of a couple big projects is a major difference in video game Kickstarter's performance. The partners say that they split partners into six pledge tiers and found that the money pledged to smaller projects increased when compared to the same categories in 2015, while the top earning category went down dramatically. This also could point to a general public skepticism or for ambitious crowdfunding ventures in video games. I wonder why. Or ones that are spiritual successors or direct sequels to games mothballed long ago by mainstream publishers. Kickstarter donors may now realize that the higher the funding target, the longer it will take to see results, even past the two-year goal many video game Kickstarters set between funding and delivery. Mighty No. 9 is pretty much the thing that everybody looks at right first. It was fraught with delays and excuses and has not helped big-budget video game Kickstarter's image with the public. At $4 million, Mighty No. 9 is the highest crowdfunded video game to launch so far. Note that says launch, not the highest one that's been funded, but the highest one to actually launch. Pillars of Eternity at $3.9 million, Broken Age at $3.3 million, Wasteland 2 at $2.9 million, all funded in 2012, and Elite Dangerous, almost $2.5 million, funded in 2013, round out the top five of the category. Elite Dangerous launched 2 years after its funding. The rest took at least 29 months to launch their full versions. One piece of good news from the analysis, the number of video game projects listed on Kickstarter in the last 6 months is down, and the number of junk projects, like those with $0 pledged to them, also is decreasing, possibly indicating the notion that Kickstarter projects are not easy to get funded and sinking in to the larger audience. And here's the thing, okay, I didn't mention this, but I actually was very surprised that there was not a single Kickstarter project announced at a major E3 press conference this year. I think I remember last year saying, we are going to see that. I remember saying that we were going to see a bunch of, you know, everybody's going to do this now that Shenmue 3 is so popular. And nobody did that. Nintendo didn't come out with a Kickstarter campaign for F-Zero, which is good because I would have contributed to it and I would have been part of the problem. But nobody did, you know, Sony didn't announce a Kickstarter campaign or anything like that. I'm actually kind of surprised. Maybe they saw this coming that ICO Partners put out. Kaijudo says the Kickstarter board game scene is even worse. SJ1er Matt says, I got to say, after playing Mighty No. 9 this week, I actually really like it. I don't think it deserves the bad press it's getting. Fifth Dream says, I have a card game I backed on Kickstarter. I've got a couple that I backed on Kickstarter. Waiting on one. I do have stuff backed on Kickstarter that I'm waiting for. But nothing really old. Like I've got a card game. I've got the Secret Hitler card game that Max Temkin and Cards Against Humanity team is doing. I've got that. I got the Doctor Who pinball arcade tables currently backed. And I think that's all that I've got backed that hasn't come out yet. So I think it's also because I stopped funding things, pretty much. The reason there aren't that many big projects on Kickstarter is because one set of game developers decided they were going to do their own thing. And now SEC, which is not the Superior Southeastern Conference, which, by the way, for people who don't know sports, the Southeastern Conference is the most dominant conference in college football, period. That's what it is. And if you disagree, you're wrong. But we're actually talking about the Securities and Exchange Commission on this. And there's a little problem between them and FIG. Now, FIG is an alternative to Kickstarter, but their gimmick is they actually allow for actual investors. Kickstarter, you are just pledging money, and you're just donating money to see something get made. FIG actually allows you to get a return on your investment. And when it launched, it was initially you could either pledge like Kickstarter, or if you were an accredited investor, which means you did all the paperwork and you filed filed for whatever it is that you need to become an accredited investor, you could actually invest money and therefore get a portion of the revenue back. So you were invested in the project. Well, apparently, unbeknownst to me, they also wanted to allow unaccredited investors to be able to pledge to the project. I completely missed that. But the SEC has not. So FIG's chief executive officer, Justin Bailey, who I'm not sure if he was named after the Metroid code or not, I don't know, but he broke the news yesterday that his fledgling company will require an amendment to be filed with the federal government Securities and Exchange Commission before it can collect outstanding unaccredited investments. In the blog post, he outlined key changes to how FIG will be structured and how investment money will be doled out to game projects once collected. The highest profile game being funded by FIG, a platform which blends traditional rewards-based crowdfunding with equity investment, is Psychonauts 2. The campaign was completed in early January and was among one of the first games to ever accept money from unaccredited investors. Now, nearly 7 months later, some portion of more than the $1.8 million in investment has yet to be collected because of the SEC's request for amendment. What portion of those investors will still be interested in participating so long after the campaign finished is anyone's guess, putting an unknown part of the game's estimated $10 to $13.5 million budget at risk. Now, he said, quote, "While it's taken us several months longer than we anticipated to get you these details, we felt it was time well spent. Our mission is to build a vibrant, sustainable game ecosystem of fans, investors, and developers that will last for years to come. That means we need to make sure that the terms we set now with our FIG game shares and the Psychonauts 2 shares offering provide a solid foundation for the future," unquote. He also explained that rather than giving developers all the equity investment funds up front, FIG will distribute those funds at certain milestones. He says, quote, "Investors will also get updates during development. Coming from a development background ourselves, we feel this creates greater accountability and transparency for all involved," unquote. After a string of back-to-back campaigns, FIG has not launched a new fundraising effort since April. Its most recent campaign was for Consortium The Tower, a science fiction title being funded in part by BioWare co-founder Greg Zeschuk, which I should have learned how to pronounce, considering he's a BioWare co-founder. That effort brought in $99,000 in traditional crowdfunding revenue and $249,000 in equity investment, a portion of which has been yet to be collected, pending the aforementioned SEC review. Also, if you remember, Rock Band PC was on FIG and failed. They won a $1.5 million and they didn't get it. So some people are leery of this because Justin Bailey, who is the CEO of FIG, was the COO of Double Fine. So people are like, well, you know, when you're on Kickstarter, at least you have a middleman that you can complain to when Tim Schafer delays the game. Whereas with FIG, people are worried that they don't have that. And I think actually FIG was started by people from Double Fine and people from people who used to be at Double Fine and people who used to be at Harmonix, which is why people are like, so why, you know, where's the accountability here? And that's why some people were leery of FIG. But this solves one of the issues that a lot of backers had on Kickstarter, where they thought they should really be investors and they should be getting a return on the investment. See Breakman Drink Oculus, where Oculus, they funded the first development kit. backers got the first development kit, and then when Oculus was sold to Facebook, everybody's like, wait a minute, you're here because of us. Where's our cut of this $2 billion deal? And the thing is, they're not investors. And everybody's like, wait a minute, that's not right. Now, what Oculus did was everybody who backed the Kickstarter got the consumer version of the Oculus Rift for free. So that was kind of – but they didn't have to do that. This allows people, and apparently if you can be an unaccredited investor, which means just you can invest, then that this kind of solves a problem that some people have. And but people are kind of worried that because this is run by the people who used to be run at the companies that are taking the money, you no longer have a neutral body in the middle to complain to. And Dungeon Buster says, Fyrgus from Obsidian and Fargo from in Exile are on the advisory board along with Tim Schafer. So, yeah. So there's people like, I never backed anything on Fig, to be honest. The only thing I would have backed was Rock Band on PC, but considering they're not done with Rock Band 4 yet, I don't think they should be. I didn't want to spend more money on something that's not done yet, which we talked about on the show. So in short, I think gamers are fed up with these campaigns for the most part, especially for big titles. I think for smaller titles, it's great. For actual like kickstarting of indie projects, not indie studios, but indie projects. I think it's still great, but I think hopefully the message has been received by AAA developers that, you know, this ain't maybe the way you want to go. You know, Shenmue really needed to be on Kickstarter. I don't think. But I could be wrong. We're going to take a quick music break, and then I'll open the phones up. We can take your calls about anything going on in the game industry. You can talk about what you bought in the Steam Summer Sale, which is ending tomorrow or tonight. I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow night. Like it ends at like midnight or at some night. I don't know. But you can say, I got one badge out of the card, so I'm good. I was able to craft a single badge, so I'm okay. I'm not going through my queue anymore. But talk about what you bought and what you're playing. I'm playing American Truck Simulator. I'm not going to talk about it, but it's nice and relaxing. I even got a mod for it that like puts in the entire country. It's awesome. So we're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
The original speedrunner? Is that what we can call him? Is Billy Mitchell doing a game? Well, but he didn't play quickly because he could take breaks. Because there were levels you could put Pac-Man and the ghost wouldn't get him, and that's when you'd go to the bathroom. Anyway, that was Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century. Not playing a game done quick, but I'd love to see him play Pac-Man 256. He played Pac-Man Championship Edition once. I don't know if he's ever played Pac-Man 256, but I do know he does not play games anymore at all, except for, like, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, and that's it. Like, he doesn't play new games. And it's kind of funny, like, the one time, like, I think when they did a promo video for Pac-Man Championship Edition, like, he didn't even hold the Xbox controller correctly. He held it like a joystick, and just, like, it was weird. He probably doesn't even know how to play games today. You don't have to know how to play games today to leave a bumper, but, you know, if you do, that's cool too, I guess. All you got to do is leave a bumper for use on the show. You can either call the toll-free number or send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. You can also use that to send anything for the 11th anniversary special on July 24th. That's cool too. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry or what you bought on the Steam sale. A couple of people said they didn't buy anything. Dungeon Buster said he bought Stardew Valley. I thought about it. It's on my wish list, but I bought some other stuff, and I don't put in my credit card info to Steam just because hacksaws are out there. But what I do is my grocery store actually sells Steam cards. So I, you know, like the $20 or the $50 wallet card, so that's where I get them. And so that's cool. And I get, like, some spending more money at the grocery store allows for, like, points to, you know, it's a rewards program and all that stuff. So anyway, That's where I get the cards. I only have like $4 in my Steam wallet right now. I need to go back and get another card. Which, I got to say this, I am not the only one doing this, because the last time I went to the grocery store, all the $20 Steam wallet cards were gone. So obviously, other people were buying a lot of Steam wallet cards during the Steam summer sale. I don't have the money to buy Stardew Valley, and I'm not going to be able to get to the grocery store before noon tomorrow, which is when the sale ends. But I did pick up, and I actually haven't played some of these yet, because I haven't had the time to like actually get the Vive working again fully, because of demos and stuff that are going on outside of gaming. But I did pick up Tabletop Simulator, which has Vive support. Haven't tried it yet. And I did pick up Proton Pulse, which finally came out. I had backed that Kickstarter, and I got my money refunded because the dude who did it wound up getting in trouble with his employer, and they wanted all the money, so he refunded everybody, and then I guess like quit his job later and then put it out. And it's basically, that is Breakout with Your Head. But it's a full-on HTC Vive game now. And I think it's on Oculus Home as well, so it's for both. But I picked up those. And then I picked up American Truck Simulator, which is Euro Truck Simulator 2, is a game that I bought for the first Oculus Rift, because there's a beta branch with VR support. And it was surprisingly kind of fun, because I actually like road trips. I actually like driving. So it was actually it was relaxing. It was more relaxing and kind of more addicting than you'd think it would be. And they finally released, like, I think last year, they did American Truck Simulator, same people. But it only has, like, California and Nevada, and then they recently added Arizona's DLC. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll wait, because I like my area of the country. But I was looking, it was on sale, and I'm like, well, I wonder. And then I looked, and there's mod support. There's Steam Workshop support. And one of the mods... that's not on Steam Workshop, you have to go get it somewhere else and then install it yourself. It's not on Steam Workshop, is a coast-to-coast mod, where basically it adds the rest of the country. And so you can actually deliver from California to New York. Or, you know, Atlanta is actually in there and stuff. And there's other mods, like you can actually deliver into Mexico with another mod. There's another one that's for Canada. So they've expanded out the map a lot. But what's funny about the American one is that it's actually done by somebody in New Zealand who's never been to America. So he's literally only going off of Google Maps and sometimes Google Images. And that's all he's going on, because he's never been here. He just loves the game. So it's kind of funny. It's a New Zealander. And I think like even SCS Software, which makes the game, they're not even from... They're from Europe, which is why Euro Truck Simulator was the first one they did. It's kind of funny to watch, you know, foreigners interpret our towns and stuff. But I did, in honor of where Vogue is located on the West Coast, my headquarters is in Sacramento, and I did actually do Sacramento to Atlanta the other night, which took about an hour and a half of real time. Because it's one of those, you have to, like, go, you have to, like, sleep, you know, when you rest, or you're going to crash, or, you know, you have to go, like, fill up in gas and stuff, so you have to, like, kind of plan. And when you get to the mod areas, they're not evenly spaced. So, like, one time I actually did have to, like, turn around, because I looked, and I'm like, oh, there's not another rest stop for, you know, 1,000 miles. I better, like, turn around and go to the rest stop I just passed. But it's fun, and I don't know why it's fun. But it is. And it does actually have beta support for... One of the beta branches has support for the VR headset. So I have been playing it inside the Vive, actually, just with an Xbox controller. That allows you to, you know, look around and stuff. A lot better than using the right thumbstick that you would have to do on the monitor. Fitstream says they should do a multiplayer co-op mod where player 2 is the spy hunter car. That'd be kind of cool. But no, they actually do have, like, there is a mod... Right, I don't know if it's a mod or if it's actually officially put in one of their, but they actually do have, it's called World of Trucks, and it is basically an MMO version where people are delivering in the same world and stuff. But I haven't signed up for that. SJ100 and Matt says, rest for the week. I did 1,100 miles on a cross-country road trip without a rest. No, you did not, A. And B, there's like laws for truckers, and that's kind of what they're emulating. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, ACTION. So, I guess nobody's going to be calling in. So, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry to jump on you, I guess.
That's okay. No, I had totally lost track of time because we were talking about some other stuff here in studio,
you were watching Summer Games Done Quick.
No, I would love to do that, but there's no Twitch app on the PlayStation 3, and we have a PlayStation 4 in the studio, not a PlayStation 4.
See, that's why I moved my Xbox 360 into my office.
It
was specifically for the Twitch app.
You know, and we actually have a 360 that's not even hooked up out here. So maybe that's incentive to get that going. I don't know.
Yeah, because I brought it down here for like the E3 press conferences.
Ah. Oh, how convenient. Shane has his iPad Pro, and he's like, oh, I could get it on my iPad. So yeah. He just brought that up. So, yes, now we are watching Summer Games Done Quick. But actually, there's been a lot of activity with mobile games this week, Bobby. Loki was saying that there is a new Katamari game on mobile phones, but it is like a cookie clicker Katamari type of game. But yeah, I was like, oh, and he was playing it, and I was listening to the music, kind of jamming along. So yeah, so that's why we were distracted for a minute, as we were jamming to Katamari music. So in my defense,
that's acceptable. That's acceptable. So have you looked at the Summer Games Done Quick schedule at all, like this week?
Shane and I were talking about it a little bit, and I have to say it didn't sound as exciting as some of the other ones that they've done. But they're closing with Final Fantasy VI, right? That's always
no Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, Super Mario RPG.
I thought Final Fantasy VI was at the end.
That was last year.
Okay,
it's that game.
Sorry,
and then
closing
Super
day.
Metroid, and then
There's always Super Metroid because they're going to make a crap ton of money off the kill the animals, save the animals, as they always do. Mm-hmm.
So are you a kill the animals and save the frames, or do you want to save the animals and kill speedrunning?
I think the dirty hippie liberal in me wants to save the animals.
But you're killing frames.
I know, but look what that did on CBS.
Oh, Colbert ate too fast.
Yeah, yes, he did. I thought he was going to let the guy win, but it looked like he did, because he went from Super Mario to Mini Mario. Like, I feel like he might have... Under all that, I mean, but it's a lot of pressure, and like, you know, I'm not going to razz the guy because I think a lot of us would have cracked under that type of pressure.
Yeah.
So props to him for it not being pre-recorded.
Yeah. Or they didn't do a multiple take thing, which they sometimes do.
Exactly. So, props to them keeping it legit for that reason. But I kind of agree with your assessment earlier in the show that when you glitch the game that hard, a lot of people are not going to get it the same way.
Yeah. Like, they're fun as hell to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But that's only if you know what's going on and not going into it cold.
Well, because then there's the part, I don't know if you're like this, but then I'm like, I want to go try to glitch the game and do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you kind of like to find these secrets in games that you remember from your childhood from like 30 years ago. I think that's part of the draw of it, at least for me. These kids today who weren't around when those games first came out don't have the same appreciation.
And one thing that I did see, like somebody was like, you know, talking on Twitter or something saying, well, I don't want to watch it because I don't want the game spoiled from me. And I'm like, you don't get the game spoiled for you by watching a speed run, especially like because I watched the Demon's Souls run.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue what happened in that game, so it's not spoiled for me.
Just skip the dialogue as fast as humanly possible, if it is skippable. I mean, I can only see that maybe some games where it's inevitable, but usually those games are going to take up too much time. They don't get scheduled for Summer Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and the Demon's Souls, like all I know about Demon's Souls is that there's a swamp because they had to go because the guy died three times and had to go through the entire swamp.
Alan could tell you all about. Well, actually, Alan has not played Demon's Souls, but he has been not speed running. He's been slow running Dark Souls 1 and 2. He just beat 2 this week.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very, like, I'm going to explore every side quest, every nook and cranny, every little thing that I can do. And so he finally, I guess, like, completely beat Dark Souls 2, which as I understand, I have not gotten into those games the same way other people have, but as I understand, Dark Souls 2 is kind of the weakest of the trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm waiting for, you know, one day we may have a VR game that somebody speed runs. I don't think there's any VR games in speed. But the games that I want to see that I think would be the most hilarious are the ones they schedule at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm actually looking in chat. Raginator says, I wonder if there's a stupid games done quick. There's not, but there's like an, what do they call it, awful game? Silly games segment. They do like a segment of games that are not
And that's
so
where like Barbie's Dream Girl is.
I think it's ironic because usually when I'm about to call something stupid in front of my kids, my wife corrects me and is like, no, it's silly.
That's great.
But yeah, they do the awful games kind of quick, and then they've got, you know, but like it's like at 3 or 4 in the morning is when they're doing all those weird games, and like those are the fun ones.
Yeah, well, that's not as bad for us on the West Coast because it's like midnight, so.
Well, I think like some of them are like at 6 a.m. Eastern, so that's still 3 a.m., but I mean, they got to put something at the in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it props to them for going 24 hours, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Tiger Claw says that they're spreading them out in the schedule. Yeah, they're putting them all at like 5 in the morning and stuff. So I'll just catch the YouTubes later. I didn't realize there was the pinball going on at the exact same time.
I didn't either until you mentioned it. Although it makes sense because I feel like, you know, we have a listener of OLR from a long time ago actually does these things. Kevin DDR used to listen to the show. I don't know if he still does anymore. I haven't seen him in chat in forever, but he's now one of those big Tetris guys, right?
Yeah.
And I know he was tweeting a lot about pinball and practicing pinball, and now I'm like, oh, it makes sense. He's probably doing that too.
Yeah, because I saw it. There was one of the sponsorship ads on the side during Summer Games Done Quick called Pinball Done Quick. And so I'm like, okay, so I jump over to it, and it's like it's in the hotel. Like it's actually in the hallway outside of the streaming room.
That's awesome.
And they're doing pinball tournaments, like actual pinball table.
Yeah, something I didn't realize about the whole Done Quick marathon until, like, you know, we were talking about it like during the holiday one is that they actually do like a, you know, California Extreme / Southern Fried Game Room type of thing. They have that going on in like the ballroom next door. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the speedrunners. There's a lot of other games to be seen, and kind of, I guess that's how they get a lot of people there too.
Yeah, and this one's in Minneapolis this time around. It used to be like right after MAGFest or right before MAGFest, and I think even in the same hotel.
Yeah,
as MAGFest, so it kind of led into MAGFest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun week of stuff.
It is. Especially, you know, yeah, like you said, it's kind of a slower news cycle right now. Yeah. So, you know, especially after everything kind of got burned from E3, you know, it's going to take a few weeks for news to start ramping up again.
Which is why I guess it's good I'm not here next week.
Yeah, well, you know what that means, though, is that's when Nintendo will suddenly announce the NX, is when you're out of town.
And then I won't have to cover it, because I'll still call it rumors. So what else are we going to be talking about?
Well, there were a few things on the radar that I think are worth talking about. We want to talk a little bit about Microsoft suddenly ending the Xbox Fitness program, which I kind of doubt doesn't affect anyone here in studio or even people listening. Not that I'm like saying you all don't practice fitness, but you probably weren't using your Xbox to do it. But there were some people that were downloading it that were impacted by it. I talked a little bit about this on Guys on a Show this week, but Loki's going to give us his take tonight on the show. We're also going to talk about some rumors that Blizzard is working on a Diablo expansion or possibly a new game, which if you follow Blizzard makes an awful lot of logical sense because now that they've launched their newest IP, it's kind of like, and there's nothing else in the wings, they're going to have something for BlizzCon this year, so it kind of makes sense. And then with Shane here in studio, you know we're going to hear a lot about Pokemon, which apparently there was a lot of action on Sun and Moon this week with like something like 7 new Pokemon reveals, including one that looks like a rejected Drag Race contestant. So we'll talk about that.
Fifth Dream has already downloaded the Katamari Clicker game, and he's in love.
That's awesome. The other mobile game I should give a shout out to, because I've been spending a bit of time on this week, is it's a Final Fantasy game that just came out. It's Brave Exvius, I think it's called. Yeah, Brave Exvius is the name of it, and I've been playing that one. Fifth Dream is like level 194, not that high, but he's like really high level. If I see him pop up on my friend's thing, I'm always picking him to join the team, because he's got an insanely high level compared to my other friends.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next, and Rob, I gotta say, I do practice Xbox. I do use Xbox Fitness when I'm on my Xbox. I fitness whole pizza in my mouth.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back in 2 weeks, Sunday night, the 17th of July, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for you in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or email me an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit questions here on the VogNetwork.com in the episode pages. That's how you can get in touch. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who are here instead of or while watching games done being speed run done very quickly. Thank you so much. Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, VHSNXV, Bird, Doomplague, Fistream, Havoc 978, Tiger Claw, Acteft, Alt, Bacon Bits, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Gia, Kaijudo, Kazan, Matt Cube, MXT, Orange Right, Raginator, Sean 8-bit, Sky, SJ 100 Matt, Stoppy, Toagak, True, USS Rover, and Wyland. Have a good 2 weeks without me. I will be back. And then remember, July 24th, I turn 11. That's a long, long time. I did not speed run this whole podcasting thing. Shame on me. Don't kill yourself tomorrow. Happy birthday, America.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.